Every teacher has content that they wish to convey to their pupils. They have some things that they look at and they try to determine, what is it that my students need to have? Now, we're talking to teachers here. We're talking tonight to teachers and families. By the way, every daddy here, you are to be the teacher of your family. That's the responsibility you have. Every mama here, you're to be a teacher in your family. You have that obligation. By the way, far too often we give that to a thing called a television set. We have tremendous opportunities of teaching that is ours. Many of you in this room, matter of fact, most of you in this room, you have opportunity within your local church to be teaching somebody something some way. You have that wonderful privilege. And so there's, what is it that we want to get across to our students? Maybe you come on Wednesday night and there's a verse that you want your student, that one or that two or maybe three, that are sitting before you, and you want them to get that into their minds and thus really down into their hearts. And so you have that you want to get across to them. We have the content. For the Christian teacher, it is of utmost importance that the content has been taught to them by the Lord. Now that seems obvious, but sometimes it's not. And that it is really that which comes out of our heart. It's that which we got from the Lord, and it comes out of our heart. The book of Exodus, chapter number 4, and I said 24. But let me go back to chapter 24 for just a moment. And thinking about the content that we want to convey, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." There's the content. There's the materials that God said to Moses, "I want you to teach this." It was the law that He had given to him. By the way, broken down into 10 commandments. Not difficult to learn those 10 commandments. The Christian teacher then wants to have those things taught to his heart that he might then be able to convey it unto others. In the book of Exodus chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth." God speaking to Moses. And He says, "And teach thee what thou shalt say." You see, God wants to teach you and me so that we can teach others. So we need to be open to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be open to God teaching in our hearts, in our minds. In chapter 35 of the book of Exodus, He said, "Put in his heart that he may teach." Not talking about Moses here. He's talking about men who are going to teach others how to build the tabernacle. Interesting as you look at that particular verse. The purpose, by the way, of teaching is not for a student to pass an exam at a certain time, but to have instilled within them, listen to this very carefully, life-changing principles that are written upon their heart. Did you hear that? Our objective is not so students can pass an exam, not so they can just give back to us what we gave to them, but that they might have life-changing principles written upon their hearts. In other words, it's going to change their lifestyle. That is the objective of our teaching. In the book of Exodus 18, verse 20 says, "And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and thou shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do." What's he saying? We need to teach them so that they have a direction to go and a work to do. In other words, it must change the course of their lives. For we know that what is dwelling in the heart of every child is simply to play all day, never to accomplish anything. And so there must be those life-changing principles. In 2 Peter chapter 1, listen to these words, verse number 2. He says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness." He said, I'm giving you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What's that referring to? The Word of God. They're given to us for a purpose, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Consider that for a moment. God wants you and I to partake of the Word of God that it might change our nature. For we are fleshly by nature, but when we're saved, God wants to, what? Develop a divine nature within you and me. That new man, if you please. That is the purpose of teaching, that we might see life changes. Let's go back to school for a minute. Some of you are in school. And how many went to college? No big deal if you did, but if you did, amen. If you, all right, some of you went to, how many went to high school? Okay. How many are not sure you was ever in school? Q, you attended, but whether you were there is another thing. You were probably right on that one. Let me ask you something. How many have ever crammed for finals? Do you know what I mean by that? You crammed for finals. And so you knew that there was a final test coming, and boy, you didn't know what was going to be on that test. And so you begin to study this and 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 the other thing, and you're trying to get all those facts and all those figures into your mind, and you walk into that classroom, you've gone through this all night long, and you've had all these figures, all these facts running through your mind, and as quickly as possible, you read the test, try to put all those things down, and 1 week later, what happens to all those facts and figures? What good did it do you? I'm serious. Francis, you're in college right now. What good does it do? Nothing. All it does is put back on paper what the teacher gave to you on paper. But a week later, if it's not within you, if it hasn't really been learned, then what value is there? The Word of God is for the development of a divine nature within us, completely opposite of that fleshly nature. God wants you and I to have changes in our lives. How's it going to take place? As you and I are taught things out of the Word of God by those precious promises. If a student is ever going to master a subject, listen to this. If a student's ever going to master it, there must be something that takes place in their heart and their mind. And that is, they must see the relevance of the material that is there. We bring people to church. And as they come into church and they sit down in the pews, well, we got chairs here, and they sit down and they listen to the preacher preach, what is it that we must do? What is it that I must do as I stand in this pulpit, as I talk to folks about the Lord Jesus Christ? I must what? Create within them a realization that what I am saying is very relevant to their life, that they have a need for it. Without that relevancy, it means nothing to them. If tonight teaching means nothing to you, this message means nothing to you. And so what is it that we must create? A relevancy. I asked the question this morning, I'll ask it again tonight. How many like algebra? How many hate algebra? The haters won. Why did you hate algebra? You didn't see its purpose, did you? Who cares about X? If I figure out who X is, then they want to know why. And as soon as I figure it out, they give me another X and tell me it's going to mean something else. And we say, why? How many like story problems? Oh, I just heard it. How many hate story problems? Let me give you a revelation tonight. The purpose of story problems is to help you see the relevancy. It's to help you understand the relevancy. If Jane had 3 apples and Johnny had 4 apples and each one of them gave 2 apples to Sally, how many apples did Sally have? Do you know Sally equals X? It's simply an unknown quantity that we're trying to figure out. What was the answer? Yeah, because both of them gave him what? 2. 2 times 2 is 4. What's that trying to create? A realization of relevancy. Trying to tell a child, hey, this is stuff you're going to use every day. How many know what proportions are? I can tell this is a math-loving group. What are proportions? Percentages. So we have percentages, and you say, well, what good is it to know percentages? If I learn percentages, what's that going to help me? Do you know that God wants you to know percentages? Do you know how I know that? You have any idea? Seriously. What's that? God wants us to tithe. And a tithe is 10%. If we're going to do percentages, we have to know fractions. We have to know decimals. Yeah. And we find that much of life, there are things that we're going to have to find out what percentage of this am I going to be able to do with this and so forth. We use it over and over. But until a student realizes, hey, this thing has practical application, it's relevant for me, it means nothing. It's just a bunch of figures that they're trying to put together in their head. And it does not make sense. And so one of the biggest things that we're trying to do as we're educating is try to make it relevant to our students, that they can see that. It's an absolute must. A person needs to understand that it's relevant that Jesus Christ came to save sinners because they are sinners. And these kinds of things must be demonstrated by we who teach, that they might understand and recognize it is relevant to life. Listen to these verses. Deuteronomy 4:1 says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes, unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." He says you need to listen to my laws, because when you go into the land, they're going to help you to possess it. You've got to follow these instructions. He said another place in Deuteronomy, same chapter, verse 14, "And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it." And over we find God telling that. What is the purpose? So that they learn how to live and to use these things. I gave the illustration this morning of a young lady and how her mother helped her to understand fractions by saying to her, "I want you to take this recipe and double it." What do you have to do to double a recipe when it calls for a quarter of a cup? You're going to have to take 2 times 1/4, aren't you? And you're going to find out that's 2 quarters, which is what, class? 1/2. Because you might not have in your cupboard 2 quarter cups. You probably got 1/4. And 1/2. And so now we know how to use this thing. And we have to put it into demonstration. And this is what we must do as we are seeking to help folks to come to an understanding of the blessed gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to understand the things of God. Understand something tonight. This is an area of great concern to me, and may I also say frustration. How to get students to desire the information that I or you have to give. Somehow, they must see that it's relevant to them and their interest. They must know that and recognize their need for it. One of the great things parents do is sit down with their children when they're very small and they pick up a book and they read it to them. And they don't say, "See, Dick, Ron, isn't that fun to see Spot jump over the snowman?" No, no. They read it with what? Excitement. They read it sharing with them, "Hey, this is a tremendous story." What is it doing? It's capturing their attention to the idea that reading is a wonderful tool where we can reach out and what? We can find out what other people are thinking, particularly, by the way, God. Wouldn't it be wonderful, and this has actually happened in our school, but wouldn't it be wonderful if every student hit about kindergarten wanting to learn how to read so they could pick up the Word of God and read it? Because they were excited about the fact that, hey, listen, when I learn how to read, I can find out what God says. We're about to do something in 3 weeks. We're going to take some of our students to what's called convention, student convention. And as we take our students to the convention, they have the opportunity to participate in a number of different events. And every one of them can go into 12 different events, and I challenge them to do that. I think I had one took the challenge. And most, not quite as much, but I'm thankful for what they've done. But one of the biggest things was trying to get them to understand this is very relevant to life. For in life, you get a job and what are they going to do? They're going to watch you and determine what kind of a worker are you. You're going to be judged by what you do. That's what takes place in convention. Folks are judging you. It's a preparation time. It has relevance for us. It helps us to discover things about ourselves. Helps us discover new areas of life and living. Maybe to dive into something we've never done before. What do you like to do? Sleep. I saw a video the other day. I thought, boy, this would be fantastic to do. You know these sails that you hold on to? They're about so wide and they spread it out. These guys had one of those, and they were on skis. They were skiing down a mountain, and when they come to a spot that just kind of, they just kind of went up in the air and sailed for a while until they found another spot to come down, and they skied down the entire mountain. They had these little cameras on their foreheads. I'm watching this thinking, wow. Would you like to do that? How do we know if we don't like it? Till we try. When I was about Ethan's age, my neighbor took me with him up to Minnesota. There was a neighbor up there and he had a powerboat. And it was the fastest boat on the lake. He said, "You want to learn how to ski?" I said, "I don't know." He says, "Try it out." So they adjusted those things for my feet and got the skis on my feet. Some of you think I wear skis all the time. And I got those skis on my feet and I grabbed hold of that rope and he pushed that motor and I was holding on like this. And the next thing I know, I'm going straight over to the drink. So I thought to myself, I'm going to lean back a little bit farther this time. And so he pulls me up. I'm leaning back. And I'm leaning back so much that the water just hits me. They go, oof. Over and over. And finally he just says, "Why don't you just relax? Let me pull you out of the water." And lo and behold, I just kind of did. And up out of the water I came. I loved it. I wasn't too sure about to start with. But I tried it out. Next thing I knew, I was skipping back and forth across the waves and going this way and that way. And I get way out from the boat like this. And that rascal turned that boat right towards me. And that rope just goes shoo. And then he turns it the other direction. And pretty soon that rope goes. And I go. Boom. Do you know how hard water is at 40 miles an hour?
But what happened? I tried out something different. And you see, that's what some of these things are. What are we trying to do? We're trying to get people to realize there are things in life that are exciting and relevant. Do you know the Christian walk is exciting? It really is. And most of the time we walk through life all drudged and down and all mealy-mouthed. You know, most of us, we give the idea to the world that God's dead. We make most people think, oh, woe is me. We think the three woes of Revelation are upon our lives. God wants us to what? Realize relevancy. How can this be done? How can it be done? Back to my very first point. It must, first of all, come out of the heart of the teacher. Out of their heart. Listen to this. Ezra, it says, prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach Israel statutes and judgments. But consider this for a moment from Jeremiah. He said, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. Listen to these words. I mean, he was discouraged. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay. What was he saying? This was so embedded in my heart, he says, I couldn't help but tell somebody else. How can this be done of instilling to the people the relevancy of the Word of God when first of all it's relevant to you and to me? And then we as teachers must seek different ways to cause a student to desire what is in our hearts, that it might become a part of his life. Listen to this in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 19. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of the statutes of God, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. God is saying, hey, you've got all kinds of opportunities. It does not have to be always a formal setting, for we are constantly in the mode of teaching. It isn't about conveying as many facts as possible, but getting across to them the important ones to be retained for the future. You see, I've spent so much time in my life coming to this pulpit with all this material, handing all this stuff out, and thinking to myself, I gave it all to them, now it's up to them to take it. When in fact, it's my job to also to help you understand it is relevant, it's for you, and this is something to be desired, and to seek to try to get you to understand it in whatever way I can do it. And there's so many ways. By the way, you know why we sing? Why do we come to church to sing? Oh, to fill some time, preacher, because after all, service is going to last an hour and you don't preach that long. Well, some churches, the preacher does preach an hour and so they sing for a half hour. Why do we sing? It's worship. But do you realize, too, it is a way to teach? I'm amazed. Some of our young people, the repertoire of songs that are in their head, they know them. And there are biblical truths within those songs. By the way, that's why the music we allow our children to listen to and the words and all that is so very, very important. If the beat overtakes the words, then they've missed out on the teaching, which is what Colossians is trying to tell us needs to be done through songs and spiritual songs and hymns. And so we have this wonderful means, music. I guarantee you, if I sing tonight, you'll remember it. How many remember Brother Wells? He was interesting to listen to. He'd stand in this pulpit, well, he very rarely, he normally is down here, and he'd preach an hour. It didn't matter what time he started. I figured out on nights, if we started at 7 o'clock, I would try to give the pulpit to him as soon as I could. We'd sing one, maybe two songs, have an offering, give him the pulpit, hoping we'd get out a little bit earlier. It'd be 10 to 9. It didn't matter. One night I thought, we're going to be here 10 to 9. Let's have a little fun. Let's sing for a while. So we sang for about 30 minutes, and sure enough, 10 to 9, we were done. One night I fooled around till almost a quarter after 8. I never did tell him. He got done at 10 minutes to 9. But do you know why you could listen to Brother Wells for an hour? Because he told stories. I used to get upset. I'd walk to the back and somebody would come back and I'd told some story and they'd be talking about the story. And I'd think, well, didn't you remember any of the message? All you remember is the story. By the way, teachers, if they remember your stories, they remember the message. Just like music, stories key in our minds. That's why so many of you, I could name a movie, you could tell me what it's about. Because it's a storyline. And people are enamored with movies today. What is it, stories? A number of years ago, by the way, through Al Wells, I got acquainted with an author, I lost his name, Louis L'Amour. He writes Westerns. And I remember the book he was reading, and so I went and bought the book, and I began to read it. I hadn't read a book through in years. And I got to reading through his books. I know he's got about 70-some books, but you could give me the title, I could almost tell you what it's about. And some of them I haven't read for 20 years. They're stories. So what we do, we use those things to what? Try to get people to remember and to see the relevancy. That's the idea with it. I have another purpose tonight. I'm hoping every one of the students in our school, when we get to school on Tuesday, are going to just come in and say, "Preacher, boy, I just can't wait to sit down and do my math." But it's relevant. I haven't convinced Mary yet. She says, X's are horrible. It's just the blank under the 2 times 2. It's all X is. You don't believe me, do you? It is. I'm as serious as can be. It must be what? Something in our hearts that we make relevant to those who are before us. And so whether you take this family here who go down to our junior church week after week, I was just thinking in the pulpit a while ago, how many years you've been doing that so faithfully with those little kids and be able to make it relevant to them. Or whether you go out and take a kindergarten class like Lori, or you take a first and second grade class like Teresa, or you take third and fourth like Patty, or fourth and, I get them mixed up here, fifth and sixth like Troy, we make it relevant to them and where they're at. Amen? Understand tonight, we have a job to do, is to reach people with the wonderful teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. It, first of all, needs to get into our hearts. Allowing those truths to absorb us and to magnify themselves within, to where like Jeremiah, even if we couldn't say it, we would say, "Boy, I just got to." And then helping those who are listening to understand, this is what is needed. It's needed. Wednesday night. Crystal, do you have anybody you deal with on Wednesday night? Who? Alyssa. Is Alyssa an important soul? Okay. And God has given to Crystal Alyssa. And there's probably a verse that you want her to learn this week. Maybe a couple. And for you to be able to make that relevant to her so she understands it. Not just so it's words that's going through her mind, but that she knows what this is. How wonderful that would be. That's a big responsibility. We give that to a teenager.
You deal with some kids, don't you? I've seen you at it. He's an old teenager. Are you still 19? Are you 19? Are you? You're still there. Who do you deal with?
Just about four or five different ones.
Four or five different ones. Give me one name. Make up a name. Hmm?
Dante.
Dante. You have Dante. Dante. By the way, that kid is one sharp kid. That kid's smart. You know what Dante's problem is? He is so smart he gets bored with most things. Boy, you gotta stay ahead of him. And challenge him and help him to see, hey, this is something for Dante. This is real for you. And whatever verse it is that you're trying to get across, that it's something that has importance for Dante in his life. It's not just something to memorize, put in the head so he's got these words in the right order. For Dante, that means nothing. But it's relevant to him. Understand what we're saying? There's where we're at. That's the need of the hour. May God help us to do that. Whether we're in class, in Master Club, or teaching a Sunday school class, or in our homes with our children, or with grandchildren, or there's just somebody over at our house, we have this wonderful privilege to teach the Word of God. And it will not get taught if it's not real in our own hearts first. Ask God to make it real. And then ask Him to help you make it relevant to those whom He's put in your charge. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Help us to see this very vital thing. Oh God, that we might reach out to those about us. Lord, we love You tonight. And I know in this room are folks who love You. But oh God, may they see with greater intent than ever before that which You've given them to do. Oh God, I pray that You'd help them to have great purpose, to realize the wonders of being able to convey and make the Word of God understandable to children, to adults, to whoever it is You place in our charge. Bless and work in our hearts and minds. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.